Well, parents and families, again, welcome to Trinity. We're so glad that you're here. We're so honored that you've chosen Trinity and trusted your kids in the partnership that you have with us. It's a real joy of ours. If you haven't been here, the last several weeks here at Trinity, we've been working through a sermon series called Fan the Flame. It's a passage from 1 Timothy where the Lord calls us to fan the flame of the gift of God that is in us. And each week, as we have been working through this series, we've been searching and discovering the ways in which Jesus is calling us to fan that gift into flame. The first week, we talked about how to fan the flame of the gift of God that's in us, we have to follow Jesus. Because following Jesus is good for us, because Jesus is the good shepherd. And if we know him and hear him and see him alone, he promises to do a new thing in us, and to do a new thing in our families and in this congregation. And the second week, Jesus invited us to remain in him, to stay put. To stay put as a branch stays put in a vine. And when we abide in Jesus, and Jesus abides in us, he promises to us that he will bear good, joy-filled fruit in us and through us. Last week, he implored us to prioritize loving him, prioritize keeping his commands, and prioritize laying down our lives, sacrificing ourselves for our friends, so that God's love and God's joy would be natural to us. It would be second nature to us. And now, this week, Jesus asks us to commit to him. If you have one of those Fan the Flame journals, on the top of page 41, there's a reading from Mark, and it goes like this. And he said to them, "Go into all the world and proclaim the gospel to the whole creation," or as our gospel translation, but to all creatures. Go and proclaim. Now that we know how to follow, and now that we know how to stay put, and now that we know how to prioritize God's love, he asks us to go out and to teach others to do so, so that they may come to understand the love and the joy of the Lord. So commit. Commitment. Commitment is a very taboo word in our culture today, is it not? You don't find it often because it's rather difficult. If you're a leader or you're a boss, you've known the struggle of trying to find committed workers, workers that will work their jobs like they own the company, giving all that they have and all that they are to it. Or if you are in a relationship or are looking for a relationship or have been in a relationship, you know how hard it is to keep your commitments, because commitments are the things that are tested and tried above all else. And if you're anything like my parents, you parents out there, you know how hard it is to get your kids to commit to anything day by day. I mean, my poor parents, God love them, they couldn't figure out if I wanted a guinea pig or a hamster or a bunny. And I got all three at different times. And I eventually got rid of all three because I couldn't commit to any of them. Or would I keep my piano lessons when the summer came and school was out? Or maybe was drums my thing? Well, if I went over there today and tried to play, it would sound terrible, because I didn't commit. And every time I told my parents that I would go out for the football team, and they spent the money and they got things organized and they were making those sacrifices, we'd get to the very end and I'd say, "You know what? I changed my mind. I don't want to be hit." And I still think they would bring it up today if you asked them. Tell me about your son's commitment. I'd be like, "Let me tell you about the bunny." Since the fall of Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden, commitment has been superseded by conditions and by convenience. So it sounds a little bit like this. You can count on me until someone more attractive physically, emotionally, spiritually comes along. Or you can count on me, well, until the money's better somewhere else. Or you can count on me until the next popular trend comes along. Conditions, convenience, it's superseded commitment. Commitment has become difficult and it's become taboo because it requires a lot. In fact, the hardest part about commitment is that it isn't convenient and it isn't conditional. Commitment, by its very nature, is all in. It's all a risk. Commitment is saying no to everyone else and everything else so that you can, with your whole self, say yes to someone or something. That's commitment. And today, we celebrate and remember and honor one of the greatest examples of commitment in our lives as we celebrate Mother's Day. Happy Mom's Day, Mom. Because our mothers, like Jesus, give of their whole selves. They literally give of their bodies for the creation and birth and growth and sanctification of their children. It's no wonder why in the early church, the earliest depictions of the Eucharist, the Lord's Supper, is a mother pelican. It looks like this. There's a legend that says when mother pelicans cannot find food, when food is scarce, they will pierce their own breast and draw out the blood to feed their young, to give them sustenance. And this image became an image of what Jesus does for us in communion, giving us his very body and blood to sanctify us, to renew us, and to forgive us. So moms are a great example of commitment. And yet, moms are still human. They're not perfect. And too often, you moms or you motherly figures, you spiritual mothers, you have felt that deeply. That's why the term mom guilt was coined, because there was this feeling of guilt and inadequacy when you're looking at the standards that other people are placing against you. And for some of us in the room, this day is rather difficult because our moms or motherly figures hurt us deeply or abandon us in some way in our lives. If this is you today, know that the Lord speaks to you tenderly. He speaks to us through the prophet Isaiah when he says, "Can a woman forget her nursing child that she should have no compassion on the son of her womb? Even these may forget, yet I, the Lord, will not forget you." Or this one from the Psalms. "For my father and my mother have forsaken me, but the Lord will take me in." Here's the truth for us today. Despite all the disappointments you have faced and you will face in life, despite all the broken promises and abandonment you've experienced, despite all the times you've chosen the path of convenience or conditions to your detriment, Jesus, the Son of God, remains faithful to you. Jesus is wholly committed to you. He is all in for you. How do we know this? By looking intently at the cross, where his arms are spread so wide to show us that everybody's in and nobody's out. That he's committed to bringing all people into himself. That he gives his very life for us. Jesus is all in. That's why he calls us to follow him, so that he can lead us to green pastures. That's why he calls us to remain in him, so that he could fill us up with his goodness and joy. That's why he calls us to prioritize him above everything else, because only in him do we have life and have it to the full. In our lives, Jesus is always the main actor and the main mover. He told us in our gospel last week, he said, "You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you to go and bear fruit that will remain. I love you." And as this early church father once wrote, the measure of man's love for God depends on how deeply aware he is of God's love for him. Or put another way, the measure of man's commitment to God depends on how deeply aware he is of God's commitment to him. Know, my friends, that Jesus is deeply committed to you. He radically loves you. And now, on this day, on the day of his ascension, he asks us to be wholly committed to him. To go out into the world and to preach his gospel to the whole creation that groans for recreation, that they may become to believe, that they may become to have life in his name. And he asks us to stretch, and he challenges us, and he says, he asks not to put conditions or convenience on this commitment. Well, Lord, maybe when I get to this point in my life, I can be committed to you. Or, Lord, maybe if this situation in my life would change, maybe then I could be all in. No, he says, right now, be all in. Let me do a new thing in you now. Let me take your gifts, your time, your talent, and your treasure, and let me show you how beautifully I can weave this into my divine plan. And as Jesus tells us in the gospel, the stakes are high. They are eternally high. Jesus is sending us out to preach so that people may believe and come to be baptized. He's using and he's choosing to use each one of us with our unique gifts and abilities to share his love. You moms and dads, you grandmas and grandpas, you family members, you laborers, you creatives, Jesus uses your gifts to bring about the most beautiful plan ever formed. But my friends, if there's no one to preach, if there's no one to evangelize, how will anyone ever hear? If there's no one to preach, how will your family and friends, your neighbors, your coworkers, how will they come to know the Lord? If we do not commit to going out, how will people experience the love of God in a beautiful and wholesome way? The stakes are high. For those who believe and be baptized, they will be saved. And for those who do not believe and are not baptized, they will not be saved. The stakes are high, but the Lord does not send us out on our own. Although he uses our gifts, he reminds us that we are not the Savior. He is. You know, the Latin word comitere is actually where we get the word commit and the word commission. Co-mission, on mission with someone. In the gospel today, it's beautiful. It says, Jesus was taken up, but then he worked with his disciples in the world, even as he left, he drew closer than he was ever before. He went and co-labored with them. Because the only way people are going to be saved is if Jesus is living and moving and having his being in everything we do. The only way is if Jesus is living and moving and having his being in and through us. That's why the Lord has been so good to us in this place, in growing the ministry he's calling us to do, because the Lord has been in it. That's why these kids this morning sang with such gusto, because the Lord is in it. They've got the joy, 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 joy down in their hearts. The Lord's in it all. So the Lord asks you today and every day, will you commit to following him closely? Will you commit to preaching his gospel? Will you let him stretch you personally, professionally, financially, to bring about his mission, to bring more people to know the saving power of his love? When we do, he makes good on his commitment. He brings more people to that baptismal font. He washes people into the belief in him. When we are wholly committed to the Lord and he is committed to us, we'll have more stories that look like this. That's what it's all about. That's what it's all about. That's what the Lord is calling us to do today. That's what he's calling us to do next weekend as we commit. It's about bringing the saving love of Jesus to people of every nation and tribe and tongue, to our world that is hurting, so that more families, more individuals may come to believe and be baptized, and that the Lord may fan into flame that gift that is in each one of us. We now collect our offerings and prepare the table of the Lord.